Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So talk to me, man. Talk to me. Tell me about this forgiveness. What's God doing?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I was reading, God's Word, and I was coming across Matthew 18:21 says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked," Peter and these questions, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" You know, Peter thinking, that's a whole lot. You know, I'm going to give God seven times. And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not even seven times, but 70 times. And, you know, Jesus, you know, continues to share a parable about a king who was wanting to settle an accounts with, want people to owe him money. And I'm paraphrasing here. And basically this guy comes up and the king summons this guy and the guy owes him, you know, maybe what the equivalent, I'm just guessing, be, you know, $20 million, or so, I don't know, $50 million. And the guy begs for mercy. You know, he's begging, you know, "No, I can't pay this." And the king was going to basically lock him up and his whole family up because he couldn't pay him the debt. And because he begged for mercy, the king just let him go. He says, "All right, look, I'm not even going to just, you know, forget it. It's forgiven. Your debt's forgiven. Just go." And so I'm sure the guy had a great sigh of relief and he just, you know, takes off and goes about his life. And I guess, you know, some time later, someone who observed this whole, you know, miracle of forgiveness that occurred to this guy sees the same guy who's forgiven millions. This same guy was choking out somebody else that owed him $20, the equivalent would be like $20.
Wow. What'd they say?
You know, they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait one second. Is this the same guy? Is this the same dude? You know?
Yeah.
So of course they're like, you know, nuh-uh. We're going to tell the king about this one. This guy doesn't get this.
He obviously forgot what God has done for him.
Obviously forgot.
And you know, God is so faithful, by the way. He is so faithful. If you don't think he's faithful, when we take those approaches, God says, "Oh, let me just be faithfully to remind him of his need for forgiveness, mercy, and grace."
I mean, this is serious stuff.
Very serious. $1 million, dude.
Yeah, you know, so he goes back and the king's like, wait a minute. You know, I forgave you all of this. He's like, this ain't going to work, you know. And basically, he started begging again and the king just threw him in prison. You know, just threw him in prison. And it actually says, you wicked servant, verse 32. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master turned them over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed.
So literally, then he was forgiven because he didn't forgive.
Yeah.
Like he was forgiven. Then everything he was forgiven of, he was not forgiven anymore.
Exactly.
Didn't Jesus say, "If you don't forgive, I won't forgive you"?
Same.
So he's actually given an example of like, "I thought you forgave me for that." You know, hello, why are you bringing that back up? Where'd that come from? It's like, because you're holding unforgiveness towards a sister or a brother or a spouse or a child or a parent or, you know.
Yeah, and that's huge.
And he said, to be tormented. No, he didn't say that. What did you say now? He said that, so you're going to be locked down until.
He turned over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this is how my Heavenly Father would treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
Isn't it amazing, though, John, how many people don't understand that you're just killing yourself by holding unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to be tormented and tortured with a permission slip from God for everything to go wrong in your life, physically, emotionally, relationally, economically. All these things can be tormented. It's like, it's just tormented and tortured. Yeah. And you hear their conversation about every 3 days, they talk about people that they're holding unforgiveness towards and bitterness towards. Yeah. And they owe me, they owe me, they owe me, they own me, they own me, they own me.
Yeah.
Wow. So then the only way you can get out of that jail, how do you get out of that tormented jail then? If how does he say you can get out of that jail?
You start, you forgive everyone. Start
no.
Forgiving.
Is there another way out of that tormented jail? I mean, is there any other way? Is there any other way to come out of that?
No.
I mean, oh, my goodness. You have to forgive somebody?
Ain't no plan B to this.
Ain't no plan B.
Ain't no plan B. You got
to
forgive.
I've seen people trying to dig underneath those particular tormented jails. Like, no, just go forgive them. Just go forgive them and let them go.
And the thing is, I mean, you would think that, I mean, some people stick so close to forgiveness, you would think that unforgiveness felt so good. Like, what part of unforgiveness feels good every time you think about the person you're upset, every time you think about the offense you're hurt? He's like, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't even connect right with you.
Right.
And it's better to recognize, it's, you know, Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. I mean, it's like we need to start extending some mercy to people in view of the same mercy
that we've been given.
Hello, that God's been given.
You know what's huge about that? Because Jesus said this, and you know, people have done away with the words of Jesus. Listen, if for a while, just hover in the Gospels and stay away from other things, books and stuff that people are doing, you know, writing, and let's just hang there and realize Jesus said this. Listen, if you will not forgive your brother, I will not forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And then he gets what you're talking about as a scenario. He's giving a picture of what it's going to look like. And the mercies of God is he's going to allow you to be motivated so you don't bust hell wide open.
Yeah.
He's going to allow people say, oh, well, you can disobey God, live in rebellion, be crucified Christ all over again. You can hold all this unforgiveness in your life. But God's going to go, just welcome you and come up here and just let me give you a big hug in heaven when all you had to do was to forgive like God forgave you. Freely you've received it.
That's right.
Freely give it.
Right.
Who are
we
to hold anything against? Who owes? Nobody owes us anything.
Exactly.
And those people that are holding unforgiveness, it boils down to that they think somebody owes them something.
Right.
Owes them an apology, owes them money, owes them stuff, owes them a better attitude, owes them a better nation.
Right.
Oh. Let it go.
In view of what God's been, and mercy is not getting what you deserve. And I was like, let's not start talking about what we deserve. Let's not bring that subject up. You know what I mean?
It's interesting to you that you're saying, you know, obviously Jesus is saying, he says, this is how your heavenly Father will treat you.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, Satan's getting blamed with so many things.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's the mercies of God, and I think about this, I don't know if it was the call or what particular prophetic vision that Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries is writing down, but he's in heaven, he's looking at, there's different levels of heaven, there's a bottom level of heaven. And he sees this man on the lowest level of heaven. He was, in the day when he was on earth, everybody would have thought, well, he's obviously a man walking with God. He's going to be, if there is levels, he'd be in the top level. And he said, what are you doing down here? You know, what are you doing down here? And he goes, well, you know, I was walking around in sin. I was walking around in sin that I was in error and pride. Mm-hmm. But God was merciful on me. He gave me a wasting disease.
Oh, that's right, yes.
That led me to repentance. In other words, God had me tormented and tortured till I finally got rid of my pride.
Mm-hmm.
I finally, on the table of all the consequences, of all the things I carried in my heart, the pressure drove me to the cross. I was a taskmaster. It drove me to, he had mercy on me. And before my life had ended, I repented for my sin.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful though? He says, and he's, of course, he's like, it doesn't, you know, you're here, you're just good. And it was given a perspective to Rick, you know, Joyner about, and us, as he shared it with us, that that's the same thing, that it's the mercies of God. Somebody says, well, why would God torment and torture you? I already am a victim of somebody that I believe that they owed me something. And now I feel like I'm a victim of God. No, the truth is that you're a victim of yourself.
That's right.
You're a victim of your self-righteousness. You're a victim of your own pride, of your own, somebody owes you.
Hmm.
And let me tell you something. If you think somebody owes you something, this is how it goes. You owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you own me. You That's own right. me. You owe me because you'll be a slave to that mindset. You'll be a slave and you'll be trapped. You'll be stuck because all your life you're saying they need to do something before I can do something, which means this. They're holding the key to your destiny, to your future. And then if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you'll never enter into it. You surrendered your destiny to this person instead of taking it back and take it to the cross. Because listen, if you're saying somebody else has got to do something before you do something, that means they hold their whole power over you.
Yeah.
But if you say, no, that's not true, I'm going to forgive them and let them go, like Jesus is telling Peter, then you take back control of your own destiny and you lay that down at the foot of the cross of Christ. And you just go, freely I receive, freely I give. You owe me nothing. Then he says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. So next time you see the person in your heart, you're going, listen, is there something I can do for you?
That's right.
If somebody That's walks right. up with a gold coin and a glass of water, understand they're just moving in God.
it's hard to have ill feeling towards someone you're praying for and blessing, let me tell you. Start blessing them. You've got to change your heart towards them. It reminds me of a story that I saw of a family in Tallahassee, actually. Their daughter was dating this young man, and something had happened. Apparently, they were going to get married, as I understand the story. And he had a gun, and they got into an argument. He wound up killing their daughter. I mean, he shot her. And, you know, as I'm hearing the story, you find out that, you know, she's being rushed to the hospital. The police are running to arrest this guy. And the parents rush to the hospital to be at the daughter's bedside. And the father's saying, as he's holding his daughter's hand, he's saying, you know, she's trying last words. And she's looking at her dad saying, Dad, forgive him, Dad. Just, you know, forgive him. And a few moments later, she dies.
Wow.
The girl dies. Yeah. Wow. So the parents, I mean, there's a close relationship. The parents of the daughter and the young man who wound up shooting and killing his girlfriend, they're friends. All of these folks are friends. And the father had some challenges and had to pray about it. And ultimately, what they wind up doing with this young man, they sought the court system to do this new way of justice called restorative justice.
Mm-hmm.
Restorative justice, where they didn't want to be tormented and tortured by what had happened. They wanted to release this guy. At the same time, they didn't want to see this man lose his life, you know, and just they wanted him to get help. And I just thought, what an amazing picture of just the forgiveness and the love of God, you know, learning to have this restorative justice where this young man can get healed and they can release at the same time, you know, any kind of ill feeling to God and you know, not towards him. Right. And it's beautiful.
I want to continue talking about this because this is very important. I want to talk about John G. Lake and his wife and what they had to do for healing right there. We'll be right back after this message. Forgiveness is so, so very important. What we discover, what John was sharing with us, is the fact, the words of Jesus, that if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. And then Jesus, then he gives us a paradigm, he gives us a story, he gives us an allegory of what it's actually going to be like. And then we discover that if we don't forgive, God doesn't forgive us. But then he's going to allow us to be tormented and tortured to motivate us to obey him so that we don't spend eternity in hell separated from him.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think of this. When you were talking, John, I was thinking about John G. Lake, you know, one of God's generals, man that started over 5,000 churches and church plants in Africa, who was just so strong in his faith that you could put the diseases in his hand and the disease would die in his hand. That was how powerful his faith was in God. And then he had healing houses and healing rooms all over America and maybe other places as well. Like you just go to your local 7-Eleven, you can go to the local prayer room and they would pray over you and people would be healed. But this is what's interesting was that he and his wife would minister together.
In Wisconsin, by the way.
Oh, wow. No, didn't know that. There you go. But he and his wife would minister together and his wife would first had a spirit of discernment and could discern what was going on, the gift of discernment. And then he would actually move in the gift of healing and they would kind of go together in that. But the wife would first talk to the person and begin to understand that God would reveal to her that there's unforgiveness in your life. And they would have to, because they were sick, they were tormented, they were diseased. These things were in their life. And it's not all disease is not this way, but this talking about this particular thing that happens is motivation to repent. And we should always ask ourselves every day, you know, Lord, is there something I need to get right in my heart, not just when we're hurting. And she would talk to them and she would bring things up and they'd go, yes, you know, this happened in my life and I've been holding unforgiveness now for 20 years. And it's like, think about it. Is it working for you now? Here you are trying to get healing because you've been tortured and tormented. And so they would forgive. And when they would forgive, that person, when they forgive all these people that they've been holding this bitterness and resentment from, then he would pray for them and they would be healed.
Wow.
They would be completely and totally healed. Mm-hmm. Then other ones who would not forgive, they would go, I would never let that person go. She did this and da-da-da, or he did that, and I'm not going to. Then they wouldn't get healed. Healing wouldn't happen for that person.
Right.
And then there was the people that would kind of like, kind of give a halfway, kind of hack their way through it or whatever. They talked about halfway repentance. And they'd be partially healed.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. Do you want a healing? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to be free? Forgive today. It's free of charge. Freely you've received it. Freely give it. Listen, it's the mercies of God that when the pressure is on you for doing what's wrong. I'm looking at people right now. I'm thinking, just they're crossing my mind. There's some people that have lived their whole life in bitterness, religious bitterness and resentment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And in ministries and this kind of stuff. And they're just, and the pressure's on them now. I mean, the pressure's on them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and this is what you think. You think, maybe they'll humble themselves and repent. Maybe they'll say, I'm sorry for my life of bitterness and all these different things that I've done. And then all of a sudden, they just, I think about your grandmother. You remember your grandmother, she lived this whole life. Well, both grandmothers, I'm talking about that one over there.
Oh,
and she was bitter.
Yeah.
But when she began to lose her mind, it was a gift.
Sure was. Yeah.
It was a gift. She lost her strongholds when she lost her mind.
Totally lifted.
She totally lost any things that would hold her back. She just said, her love. The love just came over, and the opposite of who she was with those strongholds. She spoke openly in the opposite of that, and where she said, I would hate this person. Now she's saying, I love, and she pointed at somebody that she would have hated her whole life. And she says, I love that one over there. I mean, just totally, it was so free. I mean, that was huge.
There was.
Right? And I remember you and I was visiting her. This is so hilarious. We were visiting her. She was in an assisted living facility, and we were just stopped by to see how she's doing and all. And she was, I thought she was funny.
Yeah.
And
actually, both of them at that time.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And she was at a dining room table with, some other elderly ladies that were there. And we're just talking. It's kind of quiet. You're kind of focused on the one that you're visiting, right? But everybody's around there.
Right.
And finally, she just looks up all the way across, points all the way across the room at the table and points at this one woman and says, she cries all the time. Right?
She
cries all the time.
All the time.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my goodness. What do you do with that, right? What do you do with that? But what's so cool was, it's almost like the mercies of God freed her from all those evil mindsets that held her captive her whole life. And just in a moment, and the loss of what you thought would be her mental faculty, she really gained it. She gained compassion and love and... Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, God, you're so merciful and you're so kind. And just like that man we're talking about before the break that Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministry saw on the bottom floor of heaven, the least level in heaven, that he was just grateful that God had given him a wasting disease because it humbled him to the point that he was able to come to his senses and repent before he had died. Listen, why waste your life like that? That's a great medical. Here's a great medical advice for you. Forgive everybody. To me, it's like, dude, where does it come from? Do you think somebody owes you? I mean, this is whole generation today. This whole, it's like everybody, the government owes me. My parents owe me. My children owe me. My spouse owe me. It's like, do you know where you came from? Do you know who you are? I mean, really, why do they owe you something? I mean,
right.
Let me see your books. I mean, let me see, let me look at your company books. Maybe there's something I'm not getting here. And your balance sheet's going to show that you've been found left wanting. I mean, you got the same debt that they have called the debt of sin. And why do you think they owe you? I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. And what happens is the enemy deceives people and thinking that my life would be better and I wouldn't be as bad or be whatever is somebody who just would have been better. And the thing is, truth is, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. And the longer life lives, you live life, you realize, you know, thank God that Jesus spoke a few words and wrote in the sand, because we might have would have stoned somebody that Jesus wanted to forgive.
Yeah. Then we start putting judgments over people. You know what I'm saying? We locked them in the judgments because we've got to forgive them. We've got to blame somebody for this mess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and obviously. So, go ahead.
Yeah, you lock them in there. You lock them in that judgment. And then we, now on top of, you know, being another torture is that this, in the same measure that we use to judge someone, it's going to be measured right back to us. And it's like.
Exactly. That's what he's saying.
This is getting progressively worse here.
And they pray, people pray the Lord's Prayer is like, Lord, forgive others. I forgive others, Lord, as you know, I forgive others as you forgive. I forgive. Forgive.
I'm
dyslexic at this moment right here. But forgive. I forgive others that sinned against me as you forgive. Forgive.
Moving on.
Forgive. Lord, forgive me. Forgive them as I have.
Forgive me as I've forgiven them.
Exactly.
You got to say it all together for it to make sense. And then when you're pulling segments out.
But that's
true. Then he does. But then he does. He honors that prayer. He says, okay, you didn't forgive them. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to honor that prayer. I'm not going to forgive you.
That's right. Forgive me as I have. Well, if you have it, then guess what? God's not going to forgive you.
Exactly.
And it's like you got to make a choice. You know what I'm saying? Forgiveness is a choice. Love is a choice. You got to make the choice.
And you're so huge, though, that so many people who really, you know, might not even have a walk with God or say they're walking with God, they pray that prayer, you know, religiously, not realizing that you are actually speaking to God, saying, hold me accountable for my unforgiveness towards people. I mean, he's going to do it anyway, but you're like locking in with saying, listen, as I forgive others, forgive me.
Right.
And if we're not forgiving others, and he already said, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. What's interesting, too, is like you're saying, he says, but if you don't forgive them, not only will he not forgive you, but he won't forgive them. So we can, like you said, hold people in captivity quite often, that the very spouse or the parent who won't forgive a child, or a child won't forgive a parent, or a spouse won't forgive a spouse, or one brother won't forgive another brother, or whatever. And that person can't get free until you forgive them, because God says, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive them either.
Yeah.
And one of the ways we can help people get free is forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them. Just forgive them. And God says, if you'll forgive them, I'll forgive them.
That's right.
That's right.
Isn't that wild?
That's right.
Who is this that has the power to forgive sins? What's easier, be able to take up your cot and walk, you know, with the man that was the paralytic that was on the mat or whatever? Yep. Or is it say, your sins are forgiven you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Think of it. That's powerful.
And let me tell you, life is too short. You know, how many times have we been at someone's deathbed and it's like, man, this is not the time to be having this talk. I mean, have it, please have it. Don't get me wrong. But you want to have this talk. You want to have this time of forgiveness way before. But I've seen it so many times at someone's deathbed. You know, at that point, now they start bringing everyone out and you start, if they have that chance. But not everyone even has that chance at that moment. You can start today, you know, even the Lord's just showing you some people right now, give you some pictures and some thoughts of some folks. You know what? Run with that. That's God. Release them so that you can be free and they can be free.
And those are some of your biggest tests. Listen, you're going to walk with God. Your biggest test of love for God is to be treated unjustly.
Yeah.
To be taken advantage of. To be called wrong when you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And not hold unforgiveness.
Yeah.
And to let them go. And he says, this is your calling. This is what you're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
To suffer for doing right.
This is commendable.
This is commendable before God.
This is commendable.
Commendable. Woo. And so if somebody says, well, I got this peculiar thing going on. Somebody's offended me and I'm debating whether I should forgive. It's like, dude, that's our calling.
Mm-hmm.
Our calling is to work hard for God, love other people, and do what's right. And being called the opposite of all that.
Yeah.
And people try being used by the adversary to offend you. And the Lord's leaning over and watching. Okay, I know I forgave him. Will he forgive them?
Mm.
And it's the most freeing thing in the world. I mean, sometimes I remember, you know, the things that have happened that it's just like being in the ring with Tyson. I mean, things just hit like bam. I remember, you know, just all kinds of things. I can't, you know, I don't want to go into any details because everybody's had the very same thing. But it was such a big hit that it took me, by the time I got in my vehicle and drove down several roads and I walked into a store, I'm not even there anymore. It was just such a, it was such an amazing thing that I could have taken offense. I could have became bitter. I could have became resentful. I could have said, this is wrong and I'm going to hold this against you. Or I could have said, you know what? God, keep me from taking anything in my heart. I don't know how to handle this, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to love them. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to hold on. Mm-hmm. We're just going to hold on. I'm not going to put, there's no category on this. And literally my head was spinning. It was like, whoa, whoa. You know, you wonder, it's like, do you know what you just did, Judas? Do you really know? Do you know what you just did? Right? You're like, do you know? And you just kind of go, okay, we can get through this. Mm-hmm. You don't ponder it. You just, and this was, I mean, so many blah, man, you've seen some stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
But this particular situation was, it was just such a hit. Mm. And it was like, bam. And I could have got better. But I decided to get better and to say, you know what? I'm not going to hold anything against this situation or that person or that or this. Let's just let it go. And it was amazing. It was like the empowerment that comes by that. It's like this huge basket of love for God just goes up. It's like, whoa, yeah. Right? It's like this, wow, he loved me. He was willing to forgive. He imitated me.
Yeah. Well, we're most like Christ when we forgive and love. We're most like him. We're walking just like him.
Right, right. And you have plenty of opportunities to do this. You're thinking, well, my dog, you know, I've never got a chance to do that. That's pretty cool. I wish I, you know, give me a chance like that. Just hold on.
Live a little bit.
Hold on. There's plenty of opportunities. And realize, you know, this happened to Joseph with his brothers. You know, he could have gotten bitter or better. He realized when Joseph was betrayed and all these things happened, he could have held unforgiveness towards them, but he loved his brothers. He loved them. And he said very specifically that when it came down to it was all said and done, yeah, he could have had unforgiveness in his heart. But he says, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Mm. And he's saying, listen, we can, you know, this is a God thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. And then he helped his very brothers that actually were being used by the adversary to do him in, based on jealousy and all that kind of stuff. And you just have plenty of opportunities. So if you're a little concerned that you haven't been betrayed or, you know, things haven't happened wrong for you, or, you know, you haven't had a Tyson spiritual experience where somebody's gnawing on your ear after punching you out. A holy-filled experience, right?
Exactly.
Got your ear bit off.
Doesn't feel quite holy, though.
No, it doesn't. And those are moments when all of heaven's leaning down and angels are watching. Imagine all the second heaven's watching. Mm. Not second heaven. Probably second heaven, too, but all of, you know, God's angels are watching. They're going like, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when bitterness and resentment come for you? What are you gonna do when you've been betrayed? What are you gonna do when they looked you square in their face and they did you in? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? That's why we need each other, by the way.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time to talk to that. We need each other. We need to be able to call people up and that love us and to say, help! I'm venturing in the bitterness.